W.F. House presents an unabridged recording of City of Heavenly Fire by Cassandra Clare. Narrated by Jason Doring and Sophie Turner.
In God 'tis glory, and when men aspire, 'tis but a spark too much of heavenly fire. John Dryden, Absalom and Achitophel.
Prologue. Fall like rain. The Los Angeles Institute, December 2007. On the day Emma Carstairs' parents were killed, the weather was perfect. On the other hand, the weather was usually perfect in Los Angeles. Emma's mother and father dropped her off on a clear winter morning at the Institute in the hills behind the Pacific Coast Highway, overlooking the blue ocean. The sky was a cloudless expanse that stretched from the cliffs of the Pacific Palisades to the beaches at Point Hume. A report had come in the night before of demonic activity near the beach caves of Leo Carrillo. The Carstairs had been assigned to look into it. Later, Emma would remember her mother tucking a windblown strand of hair behind her ear as she offered to draw a fearless rune on Emma's father, and John Carstairs laughing and saying he wasn't sure how he felt about newfangled runes. He was fine with what was written in the Grey Book, thanks very much. At the time, though, Emma was impatient with her parents, hugging them quickly before pulling away to race up the Institute steps, her backpack bouncing between her shoulders as they waved goodbye from the courtyard. Emma loved that she got to train at the Institute. Not only did her best friend Julian live there, but she always felt as if she was flying into the ocean when she went inside it. It was a massive structure of wood and stone at the end of a long pebbled drive that wound through the hills. Every room, every floor looked out over the ocean and the mountains and the sky, rippling expanses of blue and green and gold. Emma's dream was to climb up onto the roof with Jules, though so far they'd been foiled by parents, to see if the view stretched all the way to the desert in the south. The front doors knew her and gave way easily under her familiar touch. The entryway and lower floors of the Institute were full of adult shadow hunters, striding back and forth. Some kind of meeting, Emma guessed. She caught sight of Julian's father, Andrew Blackthorne, the head of the Institute, amid the crowd. Not wanting to be slowed down by greetings, she dashed for the changing room on the second floor, where she swapped her jeans and t-shirt for training clothes. Oversized shirt, loose cotton pants, and the most important item of all, the blade slung over her shoulder. Cortana. The name simply meant short sword, but it wasn't short to Emma. It was
sample complete. Ready to continue?